All right, it is 13 minutes after 9 o'clock, and our 21st Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign gets underway right now. Normally at this time, I'm talking with Sherry Johnson. I have been for the past 20 years, but Sherry is taking this year off. So,
Mostly off.
Mostly off. Yeah, we got her for our keynote at the end of this thing. Amy, my wife Amy, is working as the co-host this year, and you are quite experienced since you... work very diligently every year, kind of in the background of this thing.
Yeah, I'm not used to being part of the discussions, but I'm used to helping to organize it. And we've been working on this together. It's our 21st year here at KHUM, but it's more than that for you and me.
That's right.
Doing Stop the Violence work.
Yeah, yeah, the campaign actually started back in 1990.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Long before KHUM existed, so... It is pretty exciting, and generally what we do on the first day of the campaign is just kind of explain what this year's campaign is all about, and we've picked three distinctive different topics to deal with.
Yeah, so this week we are talking about the topic of male privilege. It's been much in the news, both on a very large national scale with one of the presidential candidates making male privilege an issue.
This is true.
And but there's also been other things that have been going on. For example, you probably didn't see this, but I read like 7 news sources every day. And in Rhode Island, there was a man who wrote a letter to the local paper criticizing women over the age of 20 for wearing yoga pants in public. Body shaming.
Wow.
Now, yeah. And as a result, one of the women who wrote the letter said, you know what? We should all get together and wear yoga pants. And 400 people showed up. And
wow.
She encouraged the people who showed up to donate to their local women's shelter and call attention to domestic violence at the same time. But if women were to get together and tell men how to dress or how to look, you know, that's just like people go, what?
Of course.
But it happens all the time to women. So looking at male privilege in terms of things like our representation in government.
Mm-hmm.
Just this past week, there was a study that came out that is the World Economic Forum's Global Gender Gap Study. And I pulled stuff off of the Pew Research Center. So in this country, women now make up 20%, one-fifth, of the House and the Senate, which is, by the way, a new record.
Mm-hmm.
Amongst...
Right, that's a new high.
That's
by the
a new
way.
High.
Right.
Yeah,
it's not that long ago where it was nothing.
Well, let's put it this way: at one point in the election cycle, a couple weeks ago, when electoral maps showed that if women were not voting, Trump would win, people started tweeting to repeal the right of women to vote.
Right, I saw that repeal the 19th.
Yeah, truly shocking.
Yeah.
So when it comes to 49 high income countries, we only are 33rd on the list
out of
49 as terms of women representation. If we look at 137 countries who have data available, we're 83rd.
Wow.
It's pretty horrible. Now, there's only one country in the world where women have the majority.
Only one?
One. And that's Rwanda. Because
really?
So many of the men were killed.
Wow.
So... male privilege is an issue in lots and lots of different ways.
And really, as incredible as it may seem, over the 20 years we've been doing this campaign, this is the first time we're dealing with this topic.
Specifically. You know, and
for taking a whole week to
deal
with
it. And we both remember, and we talk about, you know, body shaming and victim blaming and things like that, and that is all part of male privilege.
Mm-hmm.
So the different ways we're going to look at it this week, tomorrow you have a fascinating interview that you've lined up.
That's right. Yeah, I actually recorded this over the weekend while I was in Los Angeles, and I was very excited to be able to talk with Kate Black, who is a representative from Emily's List.
So for people who don't know, Emily's List is a political action committee.
Mm-hmm.
Their agenda is to elect Democratic pro-choice women to office.
That's right. And they've been around since the mid-1980s. And basically, there is no woman named Emily, by the way. It is, although there are many women named Emily, it is actually an acronym. And I'm trying to remember what the acronym is. It's something like...
I have no idea because I haven't seen it.
It basically deals with...
empowering women,
helping, you know, the early seed money, because that's what's needed to help women run is the funding. And this is what they have done. They have helped over the years. And since they have started this, the increase has been tremendous. We went from no women represented to now, what, 20%, you were saying? Yeah.
You and I both remember several milestones along the way of women being elected, Black women being elected, Native American women being elected. And it's not just in this country. We have the first Indigenous woman elected to the Australian Parliament. And she came in with chanting and singing, wearing traditional garb, and it was really very... And that was just this year. Mm-hmm. So we have a long way to go on that. So that's tomorrow.
That is tomorrow.
Thursday, our old friend Paula Arrowsmith-Jones from the North Coast Rape Crisis Team will be in. She will talk about the relationship between male privilege and sexual assault.
Right, and it's been in the news. I mean, the reality is, you know, we've all seen that Access Hollywood tape from 2005. Where Donald Trump is talking about the fact that because he is a star, basically, he's so well known, he can get away with anyone grabbing women's genitals. Mm-hmm. And it's shocking.
And I also have to say, as long as we're talking about that specific thing, that more people seem to be upset about the language than about his actions.
Interesting.
On Friday, we have a panel discussion here. So our Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday interviews are from 9 until 9:30, and then on Fridays our panel discussions are from 8 until 10, and we encourage folks to call in and participate in those discussions. So we've got a whole panel of folks who are joining us on Friday to talk about male privilege across the spectrum.
That's right. We've got a few people. We've got probably, I think, one more guest that we're trying to get lined up, but at this point it's you and I, of course, and we've got Maxwell Schnur from he's a sociologist. He's from Humboldt State University.
I think he's a communications professor, but
yes,
he is part of the campaign on campus for people to get involved and step up, mm-hmm, to prevent sexual assault and to be not just bystanders, but to actually get involved. And he's been very powerful. He's been part of our conversations in the past. And Paula from North Coast Rape Crisis Team will be joining us again. We, mm-hmm, get her 2 days in a row.
That's right.
Yay. And then week two is another topic that's been very, very much in the news and in our hearts, which is Indigenous rights and cultural appropriation.
That is right. And of course, you know, all the events of Standing Rock have really thrown this into the forefront once again. And there has been... you know, so much news about this that it seemed this is an appropriate time to take a week and discuss this.
And when we talk about communities of people who have been the survivors of untold amounts of violence, the Native American communities are sadly always high on that list. So, you know, Indigenous rights and cultural appropriation, really important. We are working on some folks for Indigenous rights to come in on Tuesday, but since they're not confirmed, we're not going to say who they are.
Yeah, this is true.
On Wednesday, we have a friend of ours coming in who is a Native person, and she is a student and an activist, and she's going to be talking about her personal experiences with cultural appropriation.
And as I mentioned in the promo, cultural appropriation, this is something that's so prevalent, and most people... don't even realize really how racist this is.
Look at the pictures from Halloween weekend of, mm-hmm, celebrities dressed up as Native Americans, mm-hmm, with the war paint and the headdresses, and how offensive that really is to take someone else's culture and make, you know, turn it into something insignificant.
I mean, we all know at this point, most of us realize that getting dressed up in blackface is offensive.
It's the same thing.
That is a cultural appropriation, you know, as is, you know, dressing up, even, there are many, like Hawaiian days where you dress up like Hawaiians. That's cultural appropriation as well. And if we take a look at, the World Series that's going on right now, the Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, the team from Cleveland.
The Cleveland Indians. And there's so many sports teams that are like that. You've got the, you know, the Washington Redskins. You've got the Cleveland Indians. You've got the Florida State Seminoles.
Well,
there are so,
yeah,
many. You know, you've got the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, it's very painful. It's very painful. So looking at Native American rights, I know that we are going to be on Thursday talking to somebody who is connected with Standing Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know exactly who yet, although we have a very good lead.
Well,
we have someone
likely. It's not confirmed.
It's just not confirmed. That's what we're saying. But
yet.
You know, Lindsay Battle has done such a stupendous job gathering interviews and from folks who were there. It's something that KHM has been following pretty strongly. So we feel like we need to definitely spend a day on Standing Rock. For our panel discussion on Friday, in addition to some folks who are Native American rights folks and experts in Native American culture, we have Ted Hernandez, who's the Assistant Cultural Director of the Wiat Nation, coming in to join us. And I'm very excited. I've been trying to get the Wiat people to participate in our Stop the Violence campaign for so many years now, and this is the year they're doing it. So
fantastic.
I'm very happy about it. On the third week, our final week, we're going to be looking at the violence of poverty.
That's right. And people kind of say, what? What does that mean?
Well, one of my many jobs is I teach for College of the Redwoods. And my classroom that I'm currently in is at the job market. And I help people do job searches and resumes and applications and work on their skills and things like that. And I can see in my own classroom with the folks I work with just how many barriers there are to having a better life and getting employment if you don't have an address, if you don't have a phone, if you don't have a place to live, if you don't have clean clothes. And there's all kinds of great resources in our community to help folks. It is really tough. Mm-hmm. So on Tuesday, the 15th, we have some folks coming in from the job market. We have Connie Lorenzo. She is the Employment Training Division Manager, and Randy Weaver, who is a labor market specialist. And they're going to come in and talk about some of the employment training and job help and things like that that is available. And I know that they and Betty Chin both have like closets of interview clothes that are available. There's all kinds of things to help people. So we just want to make folks know about it. On Wednesday, we're going to have our dear friend Ann Holcomb in from Food for People. Obviously, food is a real issue if you're poor. And my friend Jenny Quigley, and Jenny is a graduate student at HSU, and she is also, as part of her student work, is at College of the Redwoods, and she has created the first ever College of the Redwoods food pantry. So now HSU and CR both have food pantries, because we know that even for students, for a large number of our students, people are hungry.
Well, this is one of those things that a lot of people are not aware of the percentage of the student body that go hungry. They can't afford to
it's
eat.
It's better than 25%.
It's shocking. And kudos to both HSU and CR for recognizing this and having the food pantry on campus.
And to Food for People for supporting that.
Absolutely.
It's just a great collaboration between all of those institutions. And we couldn't talk about poverty without bringing in Betty Chin.
Betty Chin is,
love
of course,
Betty Chin.
She is, of course, a hero in Humboldt County.
And in the country.
And in the country. I mean, the work she's done is just extraordinary. Her personal story is amazing. She was our keynote speaker last year at our healing breakfast, and I think there wasn't a dry eye in the house when she basically talked about her own personal story and her journey. And she will be talking on Thursday.
And her day center is amazing, mm-hmm. and she's got shelter, and she's got job training, and she's got all kinds of ways to help people. And she's, I mean, for folks who don't have an address, you can go and register with Betty, and you can have an address. I mean, mm-hmm. place where you can get mail and where people can verify that you are there.
Right. I mean, it's very easy for people to say, these bums should be getting jobs. But the thing is, you know, if you are poor, and you don't have a home address, and you don't have access to clean clothing, getting a job is virtually impossible.
Well, even if you, let's just say that you do have access to clean clothing, because we do have interview mm-hmm. clothes available, and you can come into places like the library and the job market and Betty Chin Center and look at your email and stuff, it's still really hard to put it all together. And if you're spending all of your time and energy just trying to stay alive, trying to stay warm and dry and fed and safe, it's a real challenge.
Absolutely.
So, and I'm speaking because these are my students. These are the people I work with. And I worry about them, and I care about them deeply. But then everything culminates, as it does every year, with our healing breakfast on the 18th, which is Friday morning from 8 until 10. Everybody is invited. Please come and join us in person mm-hmm. at the Eureka Women's Club. We will feed you breakfast. We have Ramones has donated pastries or and goodies. We have signature coffee. I'll bring tea. Everybody's welcome. And we've got music.
Well, live music from Anna Banana Hamilton.
Yay!
She is going to be our musician for the day.
And then we have a whole bunch of community resources who are one by one by one coming forward and saying, yes, we will be there. Yes, we will be there. So it's a chance for you to connect with these great services and support them or get support for them. We're going to have Sherry Johnson, who's been your co-host for 20 mm-hmm. years and our dear, 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 wonderful friend, is going to be our keynote speaker. She just retired from HSU and Department of Social Work. Mm-hmm. And I figure with all of her years of experience, she had some wisdom. And we've asked her to share some wisdom with us. And I feel hugely intimidated by stepping into her very loving shoes, because she's always the voice of kindness and compassion. And I'm trying very, very hard to be like Sherry. And
she'll be our keynote speaker.
And joining us on our panel is going to be the two of us, Betty Chin. Cheryl Seidner from the Wiat Nation is joining us. We're going to have Maxwell Schnurr joining us again. And I think we're going to have somebody from North Coast Rape Crisis Team, even though Paula will not be available herself. But there's somebody who will be there for us. And it's always amazing. We do give away money as well.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We have a good fund of money that we've raised over the years. It's managed by the Humboldt Area Foundation.
Love the Humboldt Area Foundation. Thank
and,
you.
And each year we give a gift of money. This year it's just shy of $1,000.
I love to see nice. That annuity grow.
Uh-huh. And we will be giving that to
a local organization
right,
that shall be named at the breakfast.
That's right. We don't know. We haven't said who it is yet, but it has been chosen.
And you and I have both spent a number of years in board service. And when you are in a nonprofit organization, the hardest thing to find is unencumbered funds. Funds
Absolutely.
That you can do anything with at all. So we hope that this almost $1,000 will do a lot of good to help a local organization. So that's pretty much what we have going on for the next 3 weeks. Again, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays at 9, there will be one-on-one or one-on-two interviews, mm-hmm. and then on Fridays from 8 until 10, our panel discussions, and everybody's invited to participate in that, and of course, our healing breakfast on Friday the 18th of November at the Eureka Women's Club from 8 until 10. Mark it on your calendars. Please, please, please come and be there.
So I'm pretty excited about this year's three topics. I think we've got a really, really interesting 3 weeks that we've got coming up. We've got some terrific guests lined up and almost ready to go.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who are like at the 99%.
Right.
Let me just check my schedule. I think it looks good kind of people.
Right, exactly.
So.
And of course, all these interviews that we do will be posted up at khom.com. And you'll be able to, if you can't make it live, you can certainly listen to them right there at khom.com. They'll be available. In fact, the past several years are still available up there as
right.
well.
And we also have an interactive resource list, which we will update. But you can go to the website, click on the Stop the Violence, Start the Healing logo, and there is a resource list. And it starts with a simple question of, do you need help or do you want to help?
Right.
And then you can go through and you can look at all the resources at once, or you can answer questions, and we'll do our best to logic your way through and get you the help that you need or the place that you want to volunteer. Because we have lots and lots of great organizations.
Absolutely. So it's an exciting 3 weeks. Again, week one this week, we're dealing with male privilege. Week two, it's Indigenous rights and cultural appropriation. Week three, we're going to be dealing with the violence of poverty. So those are the three topics that we're dealing with for our campaign. And I'm really excited that you're joining me to be my co-host this year.
I'm completely terrified. In a good way, in a good way. I just, living up to the standards that Sherry has set is really terrifying because she's so amazing.
But you are so experienced with this thing. You've been involved from the beginning. You know yes. what's going on. And of course, you're experienced on the air. You've been doing this for
yeah, that's not
a long
the part
time
that,
as well.
That worries me. I just want to make sure that I honor Sherry's tradition and I bring the level of compassion that she always brought. That's my main concern.
Well, you're so far so good. Doing a fine job. Alrighty, so it is official. Our Stop the Violence, Start the Healing campaign for 2016 is underway. Amy, thanks for coming in and taking a little bit of time off from or your other actual job.
One of my many.
One of your many jobs to come in here and do this. And we look forward to the entire campaign unfolding. All right. So our first hurdle for this year's Stop the Violence, Start the Healing is now in the history books. Tomorrow, again, at 9 o'clock, we're going to be talking with Kate Black from Emily's List. A fascinating interview. As I said, I already did this one. It's already recorded because they were so busy with the election. I mean, a week from today, they're so busy. I was very lucky that we were able to get this thing nailed down, and it is a fascinating interview, and that is coming up tomorrow morning at 9, right here on KHUM.